It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Matt Valcho joining myself, Jay Ford, here on the air at Radio Waves with you, Jason Jones, coaching softball one more week. I'd like to see that guy coaching some softball.
That could be really interesting.
Could be really interesting. If anybody has some insight on Jason Jones' softball coaching ability, give us a call on the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text to the same line, 888-993-7762. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. We appreciate all of our fine sponsors for making this show possible. We won't go as far to call it fine, but it's a show.
It is. It's something to do.
It is. The Bulldogs got a little victory Saturday over the sickly, and I use that word literally, the sickly Rice Owls, 61-16. It wasn't close.
Nah. You can say sickly, but I don't think the Rice can use that stomach bug excuse for that, because they've been bad all season.
They have been bad all season, but they haven't been that bad.
But, I mean, who have they played this season? I mean, well, they lost 38-10 against Baylor, 44-28 at Southern Miss, only win against Prairie View? Is that Prairie View A&M?
Prairie View A&M. And Grambling, here in Lincoln Parish, beat Prairie View A&M also by 20 points.
Well, maybe you are right. Maybe they can use that stomach bug excuse, because Tech put up the most points on them all season.
By far.
I mean, well,
I'm not saying that
Western Kentucky came close, but
Tech would have won that game.
Oh, no doubt.
But they weren't 100%, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Tech. That was a dominant performance. The best the defense has looked by far.
Practically a scrimmage, though.
Oh, even more so than the week before.
Final stat line for Tyler Stelling, 11 for 20, 98 yards, one interception, no touchdowns.
His QBR?
11. 11.
His QBR matches his completions.
Ugh.
On the flip side, Ryan Higgins in a half. In a half, ladies and gentlemen.
In a half.
18 for 25, 292, and two touchdowns. QBR of 99.7. Jamar Smith in the second half.
6 for 6.
6 for 6, 142.
One touchdown,
95.8 QBR.
Both quarterbacks had over a 90 QBR. I'm kind of surprised they only let Jamar throw it 6 times.
Milk the clock.
You got to milk the clock. And then you look and you see Boston Scott coming in for the time that he did. 15 carries, 137 yards, 3 touchdowns with a long of 70. He had a good half.
Holtz insinuated that Jared Kraft may be a little nicked up, and he wanted to rest him. If so, Boston Scott showed, "I'm here, coach.
Very
I got
capable.
Your back."
He's capable. We saw that last year.
Jamar Smith had an outstanding second half outside of the fumble. You take the fumble away, and it was an A+.
Yeah, and it's good to see that it's not just that Arkansas wasn't just a flash in the pan. That, oh, he had such and such amount of time to get ready for a big game against a big opponent, and he stepped up or whatever. But a half, even if it was against Rice, where he's consistently throwing well
with the bullets flying,
it's a big confidence booster for next season.
And then, of course, Trent Taylor sets the all-time receptions record at Louisiana Tech. It was 281, but he just went out and broke it.
Kept going.
285 is what he finished with Saturday. he's going to own this record with, what, four, maybe five games to go?
Yeah, I mean, he broke it halfway through the season. You've got
three in the regular season.
Three regular season.
Potential Conference USA championship game and a bowl game.
Which, after this week, Bulldogs hit six wins and
bowl eligible.
Third straight year that the Bulldogs will be going bowling. First time in program history, 3 years in a row.
You know, and that's what Jason and I have been talking about on this show, oh my gosh, since the beginning, since 2008.
Consistency.
You've got to be consistent, and going to a bowl game year in and year out is direly important for this program.
Oh, yeah, and the quality of the bowl and the quality of the opponent, at this point, I mean, maybe in the future it'll be a bigger talking point where, oh, yeah, maybe we should be going to bigger bowls, playing bigger opponents and stuff, but the fact that
in the near term,
getting into bowl games consistently, it's a huge step in the right direction. And if they stay consistently getting 8-win, 9-win seasons, then you can start talking about, oh, yeah, we need to play a Power 5 team instead of a Group of 5 team.
Because before Boise State was Boise State, you had Southern Miss doing this. Southern Miss did it by going to bowl games year in, year out, and building their fan base. They may be Tech's biggest rival right now, and it pains a lot of old-timers to hear a Louisiana Tech voice say something positive about Southern Miss, but that is the God-honest truth.
It is. They're the team that's keeping Tech out of the conference title game.
One interesting bowl projection today. Last week we had the one with Tech in the Birmingham Bowl against Cincinnati. How about the Independence Bowl right down the road in Shreveport? Stuart Mandel of Fox Sports has Tech playing South Kakalaki.
I mean,
South Carolina, Louisiana Tech.
It'd
a
be
preview of next year's matchup. Tech travels to Columbia to take on the Gamecocks.
Yeah, no. A game against a Power 5 team, even if they do probably end up being 6-6 like South Carolina,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's a quality opponent that Tech normally wouldn't get the chance to play.
I mean, think about this. Middle Tennessee beat Mizzou, who is a terrible SEC team. The worst that the SEC has seen in quite a while.
Even worse than Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's had some pretty bad season. Not this season.
Okay.
Vanderbilt's doing pretty well this season. I'll say that.
And I'll say that. They're probably not as bad as Vanderbilt's been, but they're still pretty bad. But as soon as Middle Tennessee beats them, they're getting votes in the top 25.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, Louisiana Tech got one in the coaches' poll this week.
Finally. That offense is finally getting some recognition. And I saw a video from, I think it was last week or the week before, but Bleacher Report finally kind of pointing out Tech. They said this is the best offense in the country you've never heard of. I mean, that has a lot to do with the conference and the opponents and things like that. But, I mean, even against smaller opponents, players on Alabama aren't even putting up the numbers that Tech players are.
No, when you look at these statistical rankings for Louisiana Tech right now, it's
insane.
It really is. I'm pulling up the NCAA website right this second. Total offense, Tech is fifth. Now passing offense, second. Team passing efficiency, sixth. Scoring offense, seventh. Rushing offense is a measly 57th. I mean, that's out of 128 schools, so you're still in the top third.
I mean, you can't be great at both.
Let's see. Where's another one? Third down conversion percentage, third. First down offense, second. Fewest penalty yards per game, 19th. Fewest penalties per game, 20th. Punt returns, believe it or not, they're 23rd. Kick returns, 19th. That's a quiet stat that nobody has really realized is happening.
Team stats, I mean, they're up there, but you look at the individual stats. I'm looking at offensive leaders in passing yards. Higgins is third in the country behind Luke Falk of Washington State and, of course, Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech. Now tied for second in the country with interceptions, Xavier Woods has 5. He's tied with at least 3-4 other players. I don't see the complete list. I'm just looking at the top 5. Receiving yards, Trent Taylor firmly planted at number 1 with 1,200 receiving yards. Second place, Zay Jones of East Carolina has 1,094.
And he and Trent's 26 yards from being at 1,300. So he really has 200 yards on guy in second place.
And then I say I'm only looking at the top five. You go a little bit more in depth. In sixth place in the nation, Carlos Henderson. He's tied with Westbrook from Oklahoma, exactly 1,035. But wow,
and then how about receiving touchdowns?
Receiving touchdowns, Carlos Henderson has 11. Trent Taylor tied for first. Nine.
And Trent Taylor's tied for seventh because of all the people tied for first.
Yeah.
And you look at total yards or all-purpose yards. Carlos Henderson, second in the country at 202.38 yards per game.
Total offense yards.
And Trent Taylor's number 11.
As a team, 4,996 yards, just barely missing out on 5,000 this week. But that's best in the nation yard, all-purpose yards for the entire season, averaging 44 points a game. I mean, it's crazy. They're averaging 376 passing yards a game, 179 rushing yards a game.
I thought Sean Isabella had a really good point this week. He talked to Sean Coogler, UTEP's coach, at Media Day, and Coogler said that he thought that Tech had reloaded and wasn't rebuilding this year. And it means this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for Tech.
Supposed to be. But
he looks like Coogler was onto something.
Oh.
They reloaded. They did not rebuild.
Making the best of what they've got. I mean, like we've said, week in, week out on this show, nobody thought Higgins would be as good as he's been this season.
And I would agree with that statement, and I was one of his biggest proponents.
I mean, yeah, no, even as a proponent, you would have never thought he'd be leading the nation in passing yards or being close. Of course, Pat Mahomes has a firm grasp on that, but top three even, you had no idea.
Here's a good question that we'll discuss on the other side of the break. It was brought up by one Ben Carlisle, former Louisiana Tech pitcher, on the Tech Drive forum on BleedTechBlue.com. Last three Louisiana Tech quarterbacks: Cody Sokol, Jeff Driscoll, Ryan Higgins. In all the areas of a quarterback, overall, deep ball, short passes. Accuracy, toughness, running ability, all that. Who is the best of the three? We'll discuss that on the other side of the... Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Matt Valcho joining me here today in studio. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors and Company on South Trenton Street in downtown Ruston, a historic Rogers Furniture Building. Go see those folks and their talented designers for all your interior needs, from cabinets, countertops, appliances, floors, furniture. They've got it all. Give us a call on the Fairway Card to Menden hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. The question I teased before the break.
Keep teasing it. Hold on. All right. In the TV here in the studio, the first edition of the college football playoff rankings came out. I know this is like totally off subject. Well, not totally. It's still college football. But Texas A&M at 4, jumping... In the AP poll, A&M's 7, and they jump all the way up to number 4.
Which means they're higher than Ohio State, which is probably right.
I mean, yeah, but it's...
They shouldn't have been lower than Ohio State in the AP poll.
I don't know. Just based on what I've seen, I mean, they're a good team, but having them all the way up there, a team that's undefeated like Washington, I think, deserves to be.
So
in the
one
top
is
four.
Alabama, two is Clemson, three is Michigan, four is Texas A&M. This is happening live, and this is live radio. There's people listening to us that do care about this. So.
Yeah.
So you're 5 and 6 likely to be.
5 is Washington, 6 is Ohio State.
They've already released it?
They've already released it entirely.
Say that one more time.
5, Washington, 6 is Ohio State.
Ooh, it's hard to leave Louisville out of that.
Yeah. Louisville falls to 7. Wisconsin is 8. Auburn,
I guess Louisville
9,
does have the same record as Ohio 10. State. So, yeah, I agree with that. I actually agree with that whole ranking.
I'm honestly surprised, and I didn't see this. And I'm looking at the bottom line, scrolling. The football playoff has LSU all the way up to 13. They've got this is one thing that the football playoff takes into consideration is strength of schedule, and they have that human element. But with that human element also comes the inevitable SEC bias.
It's there.
And you look at the top 10, like Florida's – or top 15. Florida's 11. Auburn 9. Is 9. They've squeaked into the top 10. LSU 13. Then the next SEC team isn't – I think that might be it. All the SEC teams that are in there are in the top 15.
Lots of ACC in that lower part. Hey, look, Western Michigan representing the G5 and Boise State, 23 and 24. Good for them. Western Michigan about to come on ESPN. So.
And that's another thing that you really have to enjoy about the human element is that they take into consideration those teams like Western Michigan.
But as bad as the BCS was, it probably was a better system for the G5 than what is there now.
Oh, it was. But, I mean, even then with the BCS, there was a better chance, but that was mainly just because they were undefeated. I mean, you have to take into consideration the teams that they do play, and a team like Western Michigan getting into the top four and playing Alabama week one.
Doing what they did in the Fiesta Bowl proves that it can happen a lot more than they act like it can. So that's why I preferred the BCS system in hindsight. I never thought that I'd say that out loud, but I do.
But it's a totally different conversation for another day. But I guarantee within the next 10 years we'll be at 8 teams. And it would not surprise me in the slightest if one of those eight teams is an automatic berth for a Group of Five school. Honestly make the most sense.
If it doesn't happen, the Group of Five will likely band together and stop catering so much to the Power Five because the Power Five needs the Group of Five, but how badly do you need them? Do you keep abusing them like you are? And I understand they're paying them. And I get that. But when we're talking about the larger picture, they're not helping.
You take the Group of Five out, and then you don't have those homecoming games or the games at the beginning of the season where the team can kind of warm up and get used to playing. And then you've got if Power Five schools had to play each other constantly like that. Then you're seeing, a way tougher schedule, at least for Power Five schools. I mean, instead of. Like last year, let's just take LSU, for example. They opened the season at home with McNeese State last year. Imagine that being replaced with somebody like Colorado or Arizona State. I mean, that's
it's a different animal.
It's a way different animal, and you're not treating it as let's get ahead. Let's get the other guys some time. Let's see what this team's going to look like for the rest of the year. Instead, you have to figure all of that out before the first snap.
Sure. But going back to that question we teased, Ryan Higgins, Cody Sokol, and Jeff Driskel rank them as quarterbacks. Whole package, arm strength, accuracy, athletic ability, toughness, pro potential, all of the above.
Unanimously here in the studio, Sokol at number 3.
No, not unanimous. Not unanimous. John said
really?
John said 2.
I could have sworn you said 3.
Let's see. Yeah, I went Sokol 2. Yeah.
Sokol 2.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said.
And you had Higgins 3 and Driskel, well. Okay. Driskel 1. Pro potential, when we're talking pro potential, there's no doubt. That's where it's Driskel, Higgins, Sokol.
Driskel's got that. You can't coach that cannon.
No. And he's showing it by being in the NFL right now.
But when we talk whole package college quarterback, I think Higgins gets the nod.
At least this year. And we were talking about this during the break, is you have to take into consideration – just this year. Because if you include Higgins
or even Jeff Driskel,
I'll say this about
his time at Florida. Yeah,
Higgins showed something just this last game that none of the other three guys, even
burner speed,
even Wheels. Driskel never Wheels. Busted one for 70.
No
burner speed,
and like yeah no like we said in the break, if you just take that 1 year, because all especially Sokol and Driskel transferring to Tech, they played somewhere else. You can't really just throw that out the window and forget that it happened, because it did. So in this hypothetical, you get rid of that. They're 1 year here at Tech, and for Higgins, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he got better since 2013.
And when you look at arm strength, it's Driskel. But he didn't. He was not the most accurate of the three. He's third when it comes to accuracy of that group.
Yeah.
I thought that one guy had it act exactly how I feel. Higgins, with the short passing game, is the best. Sokol was better at the deep passing game. Athletic ability, it's probably a wash between Higgins and Driskel. Because Higgins is faster. Driskel may be more athletic, but he's not as fast as Higgins.
No.
Driskel was drafted by the Major League Draft, and I think his rights are still owned by the Boston Red Sox. So... And he hasn't played baseball since high school. I mean, that tells you, it's just like a Tim Tebow thing.
And Russell Wilson, too.
Yeah, so that tells you his athletic ability. Toughness, Higgins and Sokol more than Driskel. I honestly think all three of them probably deserve it. Plenty of props for toughness.
Yeah.
They all played with probably not as much as Higgins has in his career, but once again, we're talking about this year. And pro potential, like we said, Driskel, without a doubt. If Driskel could get his accuracy under control, he's a Sunday starter. He's not just a pro prospect. Mm-hmm. He's a Sunday starter.
And compared to arm strength, accuracy is a bit easier to teach. And that's something that he could be working on right now in Cincinnati. I mean,
yeah, you can't teach arm strength. That's all on your wrist, and that's God-given ability. What are your thoughts? Do you agree with our assessment? 888-993-7762, the Fairway Cards and Men hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. Other side of the break, we're going to recap the week in Conference USA football, and then 6:45, Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle will join us, of course, as Louisiana Tech heads to Denton, Texas to take on North Texas. Saturday, 4:30 kickoff from Apogee Stadium. Louisiana Tech has announced they're sold out of their allotment of tickets. Not a surprise with as many Tech alums that live in Dallas-Fort Worth. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little Conference USA football here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford and Matt Valcho joining you here tonight from the studio here in Ruston. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston. Visit those folks for all your interior decorating needs in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts and Minden Hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us a text on the same number. Give us your thoughts on that Rice game, what your feelings are of North Texas, and any questions you may have for Matt or I. Let's look through the conference. You have that pulled up, Matt?
Yeah, I do. Let's see.
First game.
I don't know how, but UTSA finds themselves at 4-4. They took down
North Texas.
That... of course, it was in the dome, so you had to know.
And really, they had their way with North Texas, 31-17.
Oh, yeah. No, North Texas scored late.
In the second half.
All their points were in the second half.
14-0 at halftime. It was 24-7 after the third quarter. So that game was basically over.
Oh, yeah. Unsurprisingly, Western Kentucky, they
roll
over Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic now 1-7 on the year, still winless in Conference USA, 52-3.
The game that was kind of the surprise for me, and I think we talked about this last week, that a game that I wanted to see what happened, Southern Miss and Marshall. Marshall traveled to Hattiesburg and really gave Southern Miss all they wanted. It was 10-7 at the half. It took 14 points in the final stanza for Southern Miss to come away victors to Marshall 7 points in the fourth quarter. Nick Mullins doesn't seem to be the Nick Mullins of last year, probably because of there's not the receivers that they had a year ago, one playing in the NFL. Ito Smith, the Southern Miss running back, is the majority of their offense. He had 26 carries for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, Nick Mullins still threw for 300, but he was only 22 for 40.
Yeah.
That's not
a lot of big plays. But
then how about Middle Tennessee needing a pick six with a 122 left to beat FIU? Little hangover after that Mizzou win.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising, but traveling to Florida, play Florida International, I mean, we thought that Tech would be in store for a trap game, and I mean, maybe Middle Tennessee fell into that same trap. I mean, Miami's not really close to anywhere. So it's always a trip down there. But
how about the trip Old Dominion took out to El Paso from Norfolk, Virginia, to
that's a long one.
El Paso? John, you've spent more time in Norfolk than probably anybody in Lincoln Parish. How far would you say that trip is, even by air?
Let's see, by air,
10 hours?
No, 6 maybe, because I would usually fly from Monroe to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Norfolk. You know, a lot of it would depend on the layover in Atlanta. It wasn't too bad. I did take a bus one time, Greyhound. It took 30 hours.
Oof. And that's – you're not –
Now, that,
in,
that includes, you know, stops and layovers and this and that and the other.
So if you're going to drive – and you're still – you might be halfway to El Paso when you get to Ruston.
So if you're going from Norfolk to El Paso, that's a two-day trip in a vehicle for sure.
Two long, hard days.
Yeah.
Not just 8-hour days in a car. We're talking
16-hour days.
Hmm. No, thank you.
No,
thank you very much.
Not about it.
But Old Dominion was victorious, 31-21 over the Miners. We had a request to talk a little Tech basketball. We'll take this opportunity to finish this one out with a little basketball talk. We don't have it talked about the preseason poll much at all. You said Tech does open exhibition play Thursday
night.
In the TAC against?
It's Arkansas.
I hope they're playing
It's
that.
It's a small Arkansas.
Is it that Champion school. Baptist again out of Hot Springs? If it is, I feel for them once again. Those poor kids.
Nah, but it is Thursday night, first game. Just an exhibition, so it'll be a chance for fans to kind of...
Oh, Southern Arkansas out of Magnolia. SAU, the Mule Riders, headed to Ruston to play at the TAC, 6:30 tip. And then next week they'll travel to
South
Kakalaki to take on the Gamecocks.
5:30 tip. That is a week from Friday, and that'll be on the SEC Network Plus.
So if you've got satellite, you'll be able to get it.
More than likely. I mean, even with cable, I think if there's multiple games going on, sometimes
they'll add another channel.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how the SEC Network works.
It just does.
It just happens. That's all on ESPN. They know what they're doing.
Then they'll play Alabama State at home on the 16th at another 6:30 tip. Then they'll travel to Nebraska.
Saturday, the tip is to be determined. That'll be on ESPN 3 for sure. And then the next Wednesday.
The last exhibition against Oklahoma Baptist, another 6:30 tip.
It's not an exhibition, I don't think. I think that's part of that's actually part of the hold on.
No, that'll be an exhibition. You're able to play two exhibitions a game, and Tech normally spreads them out for, I don't know why. But they just do that.
I don't know.
Then they play in the Cal Bears Classic.
Figured it would say exhibition on the schedule.
Oh, you're kinda right.
Like
it
Southern
doesn't.
Arkansas. Southern Arkansas says
you're
exhibition.
Right. So I guess this will be their non-D1 win.
Yeah. LSUS was last year or the year before?
Yeah, I think last year.
One of them, whatever.
I don't even think they can count that win towards their record.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, Oklahoma Baptist.
a trip to Berkeley to play at Cal will be, that'll be a pretty interesting
game. And
that'll
be on the Pac-12 network. I don't think, not many people
DirecTV doesn't even have the Pac-12 networks. No.
It's
a big point of contention.
It is.
I see it almost every week whenever people get mad that they can't see, like, Washington State, how they've kind of had a resurgent year. Most after of their games have been on Pac-12.
After dropping a game that they shouldn't have dropped earlier in the
year.
But anyway, yeah, so the Tech basketball really getting underway, and it kind of snuck up on me, to be totally honest.
I think next week we'll be able to have a much deeper preview.
We'll go through the preseason poll that came out a couple of months ago, this month, on October 6th, last month. UAB first picks to finish first with 10 place first place votes. Middle Tennessee picks second with 4 first place votes. Followed by Western Kentucky, Marshall, Old Dominion, UTEP, then Louisiana Tech in seventh. Charlotte, Rice, North Texas, FIU, FAU, Southern Miss, and UTSA. And we all agreed in the studio before this segment that's a fair assessment. When you look at what Louisiana Tech has coming back, of course,
You're losing a guy like Alex Hamilton. It's hard to replace.
That's really all you lose.
It is really all you lose, but that's still a lot.
It's a lot. There's so many unknowns on this roster that you don't know what else to expect. They could be much better than that.
And this is Conkle's first year where he's really been able to get out, recruit the guys that he wants. He's even brought in a transfer from Miami where he was the coach. I mean, he's got his players working in his system, so it should be interesting.
I've told several people, and this is not a slight at Alex Hamilton. It could be addition by subtraction, because how many times last year did you see the Bulldogs standing around watching Alex Hamilton play?
Oh yeah, no, and that's something that happens whenever you've got a guy like Alex Hamilton. Everybody becomes a little bit too reliant on the guy, and whenever the guy is gone, at least whenever he's still on the team, and you see this in the NBA all the time with major stars like, I take that back. I was going to say the Thunder, but Russell Westbrook, he's kind of taking over now that Kevin Durant has moved to Golden State. It's his team, and his stat line kind of reflects that. Whenever you look at he's at least got a triple double, at least one this season so far, and it's what, 3 games into the season. It's his team. And you talk about him being a ball hog, and I mean, he kind of is, but
it's his role.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
And then you got a team like Golden State, who's got too many stars, and they're kind of struggling. But in basketball, it's easy to rely too heavily on one.
Well, you look back to the days of Tech with Paul Millsap. He was all they had, and really their best offense was, hey, put up a shot, and Paul's going to get the rebound because he's the best rebounder in college basketball and was a rebounding champion for maybe 3 years. I know for 2. So that was really their offense. It was, hey, Paul, go get the rebound and put it back. And it worked. It didn't get them to very far in postseason play, surprisingly. That guy was obviously incredible. He's still playing for the Atlanta Hawks. But Tech basketball could be much better than 7th place, but I think that's a fair assessment from the outside looking in before the season begins. But that's why what's the old Herm Edwards saying? That's you play to win the game. You got to play it.
No, and Tech, it's really, it was kind of expected that, yeah, this year could be, and just like in football, you lose guys like Vernon Butler, Kenneth Dixon, and Jeff Driscoll. After having a great year, I mean, we expected I can't even remember our preseason predictions.
7-5?
It's about 7-5. I mean,
And really, they're one win away from getting the 7. I hadn't even thought about that.
No, yeah, and that's the thing. It's preseason polls, you have to take them with a grain of salt, and it's either they're going to be right, where you're losing a guy like Alex Hamilton, they're kind of trying to figure out who they are now, or they've already gotten that figured out, and Conkle will take control and be the coach that everybody expects that he will be here, using his team, his players, his system, and they could finish above that projected 7th. Because last year, I mean, he was using his system, but that was almost entirely Mike White's team.
And really, Eric McCree is still a Mike White guy, and you got several recruits still left, but it's definitely Eric Conkle's team. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll have Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle. He'll break down the North Texas Mean Green. I'll listen to Seth Littrell, their head coach's press conference today, and let's just say he's dry. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Matt Valcho joining me this week. Jason Jones will be back with us next week. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building on South Trenton Street. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. And my good friend Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle joining us to talk a little North Texas football. Brett, just to start this thing off with, I emailed you after I watched the press conference today, and I said, is Seth Littrell dejected or is this normal? That guy is some kind of boring.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the most demonstrative coach out there. You know, that's just every coach is different. It's kind of interesting just because Dan McCarney was so, you know, he was more demonstrative and kind of, you know, had a little more, I don't know, a little more flair to him. It's just that it's a little different with Littrell. I really like him. He seems like a great guy and everything. He's just, you know, every coach is different like that.
You look at last week's game, you actually picked a North Texas win over UTSA. That kind of surprised me. And then, of course, they go out to UTSA and really struggled in the first half. UTSA kind of didn't put it away, but really had North Texas behind the eight ball, which is not a something that really that North Texas offense is able to play from behind real well. And they come out on the short end. What did you see in San Antonio?
Well, I mean, that's such a huge rivalry. Unless I'm going to be pretty darn sure North Texas is going to lose. I pick them to lose against UTSA. They may run me out of town on a rail if I did that and they won. But it was surprising. I mean, because they had won two straight and they played really well at Army. You know, that was a game I didn't think North Texas was going to win at Army, because Army was, you know, playing really well. They'd won four games. They're an option team. You're going all the way to the East Coast. It's going to be cold. I kind of figured that they wouldn't win that game, and I sure as heck didn't think I didn't anticipate Marshall being as far down as they were. So, you know, North Texas had won two straight going into that game. They kind of had carried a whole ton of momentum in there, and I don't know if they just were overconfident or what the deal was, or if UTSA is just better than a lot of people think they are. But they, you know, they just didn't play very well. They got down. They got down early. You know, UTSA threw a couple of touchdown passes, and North Texas kind of came back on them a little bit, but, you know, UTSA won that game going away pretty handily there. North Texas got into it a little bit by scoring some points in the fourth quarter, and, you know, if everything had fallen exactly right, maybe they could have gotten a chance where they got back tied after they recovered an onside kick and some other things kind of fell their way, but they just didn't play well overall.
When you look at this North Texas team offensively, they really have they've struggled for the most part. A total offense 109th in the country, 119th in team passing efficiency. I know they're starting a freshman quarterback, so he's taking his lumps. First down offense 97th, so that they're not doing real great offensively. I mean, third down conversions, they're 86th in the country. Rushing defense 92nd. That's where they're struggling the most defensively. But where do you see this offense being the best, if we can even use that word when we're talking about North Texas offense right now?
Oh, there's no question. It's Jeffrey Wilson. They've got one really good running back, and he's, you know, from East Texas. He's from Elkhart. He's had a really, you know, he's had a pretty productive career. His problem heading into this season was he had never played a full season. You know, he'd missed five total games his first 2 years. But terrific player, a little bit different, you know, not quite as big a back as, you know, maybe some of the other guys out there, but, you know, just a really good ball player. And if you look at it statistically, I mean, I've mentioned this, and I'll mention it again in the paper tomorrow, and the four games that North Texas has won, he's rushed for like 140 yards a game, and the four games they've lost, he's rushed for 40 yards a game, about, ballpark. So, I mean, he really is kind of, and I asked this question in the press conference today, I'm like, you know, do you guys go as Jeffrey goes? And, of course, you get the answer of, no, there's a whole lot more to it than that. But, I mean, bottom line is that really with North Texas so far, it's just been that simple. If they can't get Jeffrey Wilson going, they really struggle because, you know, then you've got to start looking to the passing game a little bit more where they haven't, you know, done as well as they would have liked, and you're dependent on a freshman quarterback, and things just get dicey. But if they can run it with Wilson, then things kind of start to fall into place. And that's where they're really good, is probably in the running game there offensively.
Defensively, it seems like the secondary is probably what's leading this group. They're pretty good, honestly. The statistical rankings, passing yards allowed 28th, and I know that some of that's going to be skewed because teams are running the football so well on them. They're running at a 201.5 yards a game on them, so that number skewed just a bit, but still to be at 28th in the country, you're doing something right. And team passing efficiency defense, they're 17th in the country, so they're turning people over with interceptions. What do they do the best to give people fits in that passing defense?
Well, I think it's just the fact that they've got a lot of good players back there that have some experience. I mean, North Texas's only preseason all-conference pick was, you know, was free safety Keyshawn McClain. You know, and he's had a couple of interceptions. I forget exactly how many off the top of my head. I can look here real quick. But Keyshawn's a good player. You know, he's back from last year, preseason all-conference selection. So, you know, he's a quality player. And then they have James Gray back. That was another guy who started last year. Another quality player, a really good junior college player they brought in. Keyshawn's got three interceptions on the year. And then you had a quality corner coming back, and Nate Brooks, another guy that had played a lot of football. And then they have another starting cornerback back, but they went out and got a junior college player from California named Nate Jenkins, Eric Jenkins. I'm sorry, Nate was an offensive lineman from a couple of years ago, Nate Jenkins. But Jenkins, he had originally committed to Cincinnati and was a really good player out in junior college in California. Well, North Texas managed to swoop in at the last minute after a coaching change in Cincinnati and get him. And he returned interception for touchdowns in consecutive games against Army and Marshall. So he's another quality player. So I just think it's the quality of the guys back there is the big difference more than anything, because that's where their best players are at.
You look at a couple of games that North Texas has played in Middle Tennessee and SMU, probably the two best offenses they place. Of course, I mean, you Florida as well. But Marshall is as you mentioned earlier, they're a little bit more down than I think anybody really realized they were. But they were able to handle Middle Tennessee pretty well. SMU, on the other hand, they weren't. And then of course Florida, they weren't. What were they able to do against Middle that left them in that game? 13-7 at the half. Middleton did score a touchdown in the third quarter to make it 20-7. I kind of put it out of reach at that point. But what was North Texas able to do for a half to really keep Middle Tennessee off balance?
Well, you know, it just seemed like they just made enough plays. And I know that's kind of the simplistic thing there. I'd have to go back and look at the play-by-play a little bit closer to remember it that far back. But, you know, they didn't get gashed. You know, Itavius Mathers had 135 yards on him, but he needed 24 carries to get there. Stockstill throws for 295 yards, but they get an interception. He has to throw it 45 times for them to get there. You know, it just didn't seem like they gave up a whole lot of big plays. Itavius Mathers ended up having the touchdown run to ice the game from 46 yards out. But you look at the rest of the touchdowns that Middle scored, and there weren't a ton of like huge big busting game plays that they gave up. And I think that made a big difference in that game. And that's kind of what North Texas has done this year. They haven't given up a ton of huge plays that have really killed them.
receivers-wise, it seems like they really have one consistent performer out there, and the rest are kind of a mixed bag. Would you agree with that, with Gorey being the one lone consistent performer?
I don't know. I don't think I'd go that far. I think they've got a couple of guys there. Maybe statistically, if you look at it, it might seem that way. But one guy that's played really well for them in the passing game is Thaddeus Thompson. I mean, he's got 27 catches for 392 yards and a touchdown. So he's averaging 14.5 yards a catch. Now, granted, Tyrion has got 28 for 264 and a touchdown. So, they've got a couple of guys there in Gorey and Fad. I mean, they'll throw it to those guys both quite a bit. And then they've got some secondary guys. Kenny Byers came over from the secondary. Willie Robinson, he's made some plays for him this year. But those are their two key guys there, Tyrion and Thaddeus Thompson.
When you look at this Louisiana Tech offense, obviously they're extremely explosive. They're having their way with most opponents this year. How do you think North Texas fares, and this line on this game is at, what is it, 20.5, 21? Do you agree with that, and how do you think North Texas tries to slow down Louisiana Tech?
Well, I don't see Louisiana Tech winning this game by 21. I mean, that's such a huge line. I think it'll be interesting to see how North Texas' secondary holds up against Louisiana Tech. I mean, they haven't given up a ton of big plays. I mean, they did give up a long touchdown pass last week on a pump and go to UTSA. The question will be, can North Texas slow these guys down and not give up a ton of big plays? Because Louisiana Tech's a big play type team. I mean, you've seen them throw it over the top to, Carlos Henderson repeatedly. The Trent Taylor's going to get 10 catches or whatever. But I would just wonder if Louisiana Tech is going to be able to bust a bunch of big plays, or if it's going to be like against Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee's another big play team, and well, they scored 35 against North Texas, but they had to work for it. Yeah, I mean, they had to drive it down the field. They had to make their plays. They had to make their third downs and things like that. I mean, Middle Tennessee did go 11 for 19 on third down against them, but in the end, they had to, like you said, work for it and drive down the field, and we'll see if North Texas can do the same thing against Middle Tennessee. I mean, you think Middle Tennessee rushes for 182 yards, or 46 came on that run by Octavius Mathers at the end of the game. I mean, so really, you're looking at they had about 30 carries for about 140 yards up until those last few minutes of the game. So North Texas kind of contained them like they have a lot of other teams this year.
So let's hear a little prediction. You think they cover the spread for sure? Where do you see this game? How do you see this game playing out?
Oh, I don't know. I think Louisiana Tech probably wins this game. I think Louisiana Tech's just on a roll, and they've got a lot on the table in front of them. I think they've got a chance this year with that team to potentially make a run at the conference title game. I mean, they're 4-1 now. I mean, if they take care of business the rest of the way, they get it done. Now, the question is, do they overlook North Texas? I think they're too mature of a team to do that, and probably, I would guess in the neighborhood of somewhere of 35-4, somewhere in that ballpark.
You're right on target. I like to use footballstudyhall.com. I don't know if you're familiar with it, where they go into the advanced analytics. They've got it, Louisiana Tech 38.7 to 25.3, so we'll call it 39-25. So they're right there with you on that margin of victory. The one area that I thought was an interesting note for North Texas that I think is something to watch is their first down defense is 169th in the country, while Tech's first down offense is second in the country. So Tech loves to stay ahead of the chain, just like every offense does, but they're very successful at staying ahead of the chain. But it looks like the North Texas defense struggles a little bit in staying behind the chains from a defensive perspective. And I think that's something to watch going forward in this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Louisiana Tech is in second and three or second and two the whole the whole day. I just think North Texas is really behind the eight ball at that point, because you got to figure, you know, they can play action and they can just run the ball and pick up the first down. There's so much you can do, where as opposed to, you know, if you're sitting in second and 10 or second and 11 or second and 12 or something like that. I mean, if Louisiana Tech is continually busting big plays on first down, or, you know, being productive on first down, that's going to make it awfully hard for North Texas to win this game.
North Texas plays that 3-4 defense. When you're playing an offense that has a Trent Taylor in it, and you've got a linebacker, or no, I guess it's really a 3-3. They've got a nickel back, so they'll put the nickel on Trent Taylor. Do you think they'll man up on him? Do you think they'll play zone? Which poison do you think they'll pick whenever they're trying to defend Trent Taylor?
I mean, I think they'll mix it up a little bit. I mean, that's probably the best approach, and, you know, try to give Louisiana Tech a bunch of different looks and things like that. I mean, that's seems to be the smart way to go. I mean, you're not going to stop Trent Taylor. I mean, nobody has. But you have to contain him. And if you're North Texas, you just can't. You can't let them, you know, control the ball and march down the field. And especially, you can't let Henderson get back behind you and give up the bomb over your heads. Because I don't see North Texas potentially winning a shootout. Now, granted, they did win that shootout against Bryce, but that went to double overtime for them to get to 42. I just don't think you want to get into a situation with a freshman quarterback and an offense that scored 17 points last week, where you got to try to keep pace with Higgins and, you know, and Trent Taylor and the rest of those guys. I just don't think that's a formula for success if you're North Texas.
Why has North Texas struggled to stop the run as much as they have when you look at the statistical numbers like I was talking about earlier?
Well, you know, North Texas they did go to that new defense. I think part of the strategy of that whole thing of going to the 3-3-5 is that, you know, you play so many spread teams that's just seems to be the smart way to go. And they have gotten gashed a little bit in the run. And, you know, the other thing, too, is they've kind of had some guys go in and out of the lineup a little bit. You know, they lost Fred Scott there for a while. Now, granted, Brandon Garner stepped in and did a terrific job, but, you know, they did lose him there for a while. Wheeler's been in and out of the lineup there, Jack. You know, you start moving around a little bit on your defensive line with guys going in and out of there. And, you know, they're maybe not quite as big up front as some teams, and some teams have taken advantage of that and rolled up some rushing yards on them.
Well, Brett, really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll talk to you later down the road whenever Louisiana Tech and North Texas take on one another on the hardwood.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brett. Brett Vito, ladies and gentlemen, from the Denton Record Chronicle, the beat writer for the North Texas Mean Green here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this. We'll preview North Texas before we get to our final segment. We will give our predictions in this one. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jay Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio here. Matt Valcho joining me. John Tabor producing the show like always, doing a great job. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston. Give us a call on the Fairway Cart to Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. The consensus here in the studio is FIU is probably a little bit better of a team overall than North Texas. And they gave up 35 to Middle Tennessee, whereas 42 to Middle Tennessee. Tech scored 44. Tech kept FIU to 24, and Middle Tennessee was only able to keep them to 35. Tech's defense is peaking at the right time.
Couldn't be better. It's the right time.
They couldn't play as badly as they did early in the year.
No. And after that, the only way was up. And the fact that they're staying up heading into North Texas could be a little bit of a trap. I mean, I'm still confident Tech will win that one. Then you've got homecoming against UTSA away from the Dome. So, again, not too worried about that game. And then game at Southern Miss, basically for the division championship and
spot. It's the way it should go.
Title game. So, I mean, if they stay consistent like they have been, there's no doubt in my mind that they can play well all the way through a conference title game. I mean, like you said, they're peaking at the right time, and now that they're getting there, they just have to stay there.
When you look at the others that are in the hunt for that Conference USA title game on the East Division, it's Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. Western Kentucky plays two of the last three at home, Florida International, North Texas, and then we'll travel to Marshall. They should win all three. And really, here on footballstudyhall.com, a 90% chance and greater of a victory in all three of those. You go to Middle Tennessee, it's pretty similar, although they do have two road games, albeit at Marshall and Charlotte, two really, really bad football teams right now. But they play UTSA, Marshall, Charlotte, and Florida Atlantic. They should win out as well. If that happens, Western Kentucky is your Conference USA East Division winner. Southern Miss, the other one in the hunt on the Western side, play Charlotte this week in Hattiesburg. Then they travel to Old Dominion and North Texas and will, of course, close the year hosting Tech. That Old Dominion game and the North Texas game for a struggling Southern Miss team are two games to watch.
Big time traps. And it's, I mean, it could be perfect for, I mean, of course they shouldn't take their foot off the gas, but I mean, it looks like a cakewalk from here. If Southern Miss loses, then it's almost pointless to really, well, no, I take that back, because a win over Tech would still give Southern Miss the tiebreaker. You can't let that happen, as
Kentucky probably knows. They could lose both of those games on the road.
Oh, yeah, no. And North Texas, as inconsistent as they've been all season, I mean, taking Rice to two overtimes, and then, I mean, losing to UTSA in the Dome, I mean, they could still win. They're 4-4 on the season. It's not like they're an awful team like Rice. It's just they don't.
Although it took overtime for them to beat Rice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like I said, they're just not consistent.
And Southern Miss, of course, lost to UTSA inside the Dome. It's very interesting down the stretch what will happen. Louisiana Tech favored, according to footballstudyhall.com, in all three of the final games. 78% win probability against North Texas, 90% against UTSA, 61%. Against Southern Miss. Going to our friends at Massey, 83% this week, 88% against UTSA, 63% against Southern Miss. So they're right together. And both of these have North Texas covering the spread this coming week. So let's take this break, John. And on the other side, we'll give our predictions on how we see this one finishing out in Denton, Texas, as Louisiana Tech takes on North Texas, a 4:30 kickoff inside Apogee Stadium on the campus of North Texas University. This is Bleed Tech, or University of North Texas, I should say. I said North Texas University. University of North Texas. UNT. Sorry.
There is a difference.
This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.9. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Our final segment here for this North Texas week, we'll call it. As good of a name for the show as any. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston, a historic Rogers Furniture Building. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs. Let's go to the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline. A little late, but our weekly segment, or a weekly talk, I should say, because we don't have a full segment available for you, Rafe, tonight. For our talk with Rafe, what's going on, my man?
Hey, I'm good, man. You doing all right? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Sometimes I don't get a good reception. Hey, going into this game, I'm starting to wonder if this team isn't significantly better than the last two teams that we've had. You know, one of them that lost in the conference championship, and the other one that got blown out leading into the championship. And I think it is, and one reason for that is the offensive line, really. The offensive line is, you could, you know, at times in games last year, you could take away a Dixon, or you could take away a Taylor, or diminish him a little bit, but that was usually something you could attribute to lack of consistent play across the front. And this year, that unit has gotten better each game, and at this point, they're on the verge of dominance. Against this level of competition, they're really on the verge of dominating games, and that's what I'm seeing with this team.
I would agree with that in pass blocking. I don't think they're quite there in run blocking. They're getting better, but they're not quite as good at run blocking as they are pass blocking. They do a very good job in pass pro, and that Tech has really long routes. I mean, you saw a drag route by Rashid Bynett last week that was open because you got to protect for a long time on a drag route.
Yeah, it was a little bit more iffy last year in run blocking. It's just Kenneth had such an ability to make people miss in the backfield and punish people for over pursuing with his jump cuts. And so it's not like we were excellent run blockers last year. We just had a back that was probably a little bit more aggressive than Kraft is more conservative. He's a plotter. You know, he'll hurt you. He'll gas you if you lay down on him, but he's not going to go in there and try to score every carry, whereas Kenneth, he ran the ball to try to score the ball. That's what he tried to do. And so sometimes it'd end up with losses or bad plays or he gets frustrated. But at any rate, you know, to me, I think about our team, I think about the games that we lost, and those games were games that you could learn from, with the special teams debacle with Western Kentucky, the defensive meltdown that we had at Middle Tennessee in the second half. And this seems like we've kind of shored those things up by addressing each weakness, and even the, you know, special teams weaknesses have begun to be shored up. And it's something that I don't know if we could do that last year. I don't know if we can intentionally really improve one element of the team and concentrate on that element while still maintaining the status quo with the rest of them. And, you know, that Middle Tennessee game and that Western Kentucky game were close to blowouts, really were close to being just out of reach. You know, they lay down, but we just did not have enough across the board to finish. And I think the last couple of weeks we've shown that we've got enough to just put teams down, put them away. And so I think we'll see some more of that with North Texas.
Are you making the trip to Denton, Rafe?
Well, I've got to work until noon, and so if that's kind of a late departure from Shreveport. So I there's a chance I'll make it if I can find a travel buddy, but you know, sometimes it stresses me out trying to get. I mean, that's probably about 3.5-4 hours from where we're going from. So I'd be pushing. Isn't it 4:30 kickoff?
It is.
That's the only thing. That's the only reason I wouldn't go, because I have an obligation on Saturday morning until about noon. But if they let me out early or anything like that, or if I find out somebody wants to go a little bit later, then I will go over.
I got you. How do you see this one playing out? I know you're gonna pick a Louisiana Tech win, but what's your score prediction?
They're not ready for this at all. I mean, they are a good, aggressive pass defense. I think their run defense is better than you would think. I know they've given up some yards on that, but they haven't played prolific offense like they're going to see, you know, Saturday. They hadn't played one in a while. So I think we'll run away. I think it'll be, you know, 45-17, something like that. And it'll be no doubt which team is better at this point. So I think that is that's how it's going to play out, and there's nothing they can do to stop it.
Rafe, really appreciate you, like always, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
bye.
Rafe. 45-17 says Rafe.
I mean, that seems about in the same general score line that I'd probably end up giving, but you never know.
I think John Tabor deserves some credit for not losing his you-know-what here live on the air as his beloved Cubbies take a 3-0 lead.
3-0 lead, top first. All these with two outs. Started with a Chris Bryant bomb. That was a terrible miscommunication. Two Cleveland outfielders just let a ball drop in the outfield, allowing two runs.
Tabor, mad props to keeping your cool and not letting everybody across the airwaves know that we've got the Cubbies and the Indians playing.
I guess it depends on your definition of cool, because he about fell out of his
chair. Well, he did. He kept it silent, however.
That's true.
Well done, sir. I know it wasn't easy. Later in this game, with no one in the studio with him, he'll let loose. He will not be quiet.
There's a reason why I cut my mic down.
There's no doubt. So Louisiana Tech, currently favored by 20, says Las Vegas. So they're seeing a 45-20 or 44-24 type game. I it's hard for me to disagree with that. The Massey says 14. Football Study Hall saying 13.4. So they're in agreement with the computers are agreeing with one another. Vegas, once again, taking a little human factor into it. They're saying 20. Let's recap last week. None of us were close. Let's just go ahead and say that.
Yeah. If anybody was close, it was Tabor.
Tabor 55-21.
And the final was
61-16.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, it really wasn't far.
Five points off on the visitor score, 6 points off on the home score.
Not bad, Tabor.
No. I wasn't expecting a 45-point win.
No.
No.
I don't think anybody was. No.
I'll go ahead and start us off this week, because as bad as I am at it, might as well go. I'll go 45-21. I don't think anybody can stop this offense right now. You look back. Western Kentucky, they scored 55. UMass, 56. Florida International, 44. Rice, 61. Middle Tennessee was a 34-point game. That's the lowest point total of the year was 20 at Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I'm about the same.
What you got?
I'm gonna go with 48-20. I'm just gonna throw another field goal, just so I'm not exactly copying your score, because
sure.
you pretty much took by going first. You took my 45, but 48-20 is my idea. I'm not expecting another 50-point game, but maybe they'll surprise me. I don't know.
Well, Tabor, since we got a commercial break for your beloved Cubbies.
I'm thinking 41-17. I feel like North Texas will probably try to take the air out of the ball as much as possible. So I just don't, see as many possessions as Tex had. Not that they won't move the ball and cash in, just not as many opportunities. So, yeah, 41-17.
That logic is sound. Mr. Tabor.
A little disappointing that we couldn't get to everybody's questions on the Bleed Tech Blue message
board. We got a little time. What's your favorite one?
Oh, man, I was just saying the majority of people on there wanted to talk about recruiting, and I wish I could, but a little bit of a gray area. I help on Saturday's home games with
It's not a gray area. You just can't.
Better safe than sorry.
The guru has his coaching hat on tonight.
I help with a on-campus organization that gives tours of the Davison Athletic Complex to potential recruits. Probably shouldn't talk about recruiting whenever that heavily involved with it. It's just to keep everybody getting in trouble.
Jason and I will hit recruiting hard next week.
Same with basketball. I will be doing some research on basketball, especially with the exhibition on Thursday.
We'll have basketball talk ready and recruiting talk ready. So get your ears ready. We'll have that for you next week. I think we covered the majority of the questions on the Bleed Tech Blue board. There was one. Let's hit it really fast. Lloyd Grogan and Damarian King are now playing that Sam linebacker in the box, where they moved Damarian King from strong safety down into the box. I really like that move. He hasn't been real good. He first was at free safety. I don't think he can run well enough to play free safety. He moved over to strong safety. Had some good games there. I think he's much more well suited at linebacker than he is at safety. So I really do like that rotation. And I think Grogan has improved drastically, and think he's challenging anybody that comes down to the box to play. Now, he's playing a lot of snaps. It's not like he was demoted to second team and he's not playing. They rotate a lot of guys on defense. If you don't notice that, I want you to, if you'll pay special attention to that Saturday, see how many bodies they rotate on defense. There's at least 10 defensive linemen that they're rotating in and out. That really bodes well for the future for Louisiana Tech.
It's been working. Like we said earlier, the defense has improved pretty considerably. Just have to stay consistent, and hopefully the coaching staff keeps doing whatever they're doing.
And Jason's got a surprising prediction. 38-27 Tech. He says Tech finally gets a challenge.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but...
I don't see it happening.
Nah. Oh, well.
For John Tabor, producing the show, Matt Valcho, I'm Jay Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com. Come check us out on BleedTechBlue.com for all the best Louisiana Tech coverage. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.